You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's get this hoot nanny going. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The whiplashing of the weather. Woo! I couldn't get anything done this weekend. I put myself in my emotional neck brace, and okay. I just laid in the fetal position, out in the sun, letting it just pound on me. Because of this whiplash climate of ours. I don't know what's going on.
I'm still trying to get my brain wrapped around the emotional neck collar.
Oh, don't you worry.
Is that like the collar of shame with the dogs with the Elizabethan collar?
That's what a lot of people in this town would like me to wear. Which is great. God bless them. Matt, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We're already starting hot.
It's hot. Oh, yes.
We have one of the great. I'll do it in the second hour. We're gonna tease this.
That was the Jolts thing.
Hot news, hot talk.
The Jolt. That's right. Dan Schur is going to be hosting later on the Jolt at noon.
Noon here. Noon here.
Oh, here.
Here.
KVOI.com. Yeah. So good to hear Dan on the show.
He's going to have the guy that helped get the Green Valley school kids into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really?
Yeah.
Very
they made
cool.
A giant flag, I think. I have to look up the story, but it was a pretty interesting story.
Sunnyside's...
Oh, no, it was a thank you note. Remember the gratitude? So he made like a football field size thank you note to teachers.
Oh, that's like a...
Yeah, really neat.
That's a Betsy dream.
They even made a huge...
Football and a thank you note together in one thing.
A huge envelope and stamp, I remember it now, and they took it to the post. The postmaster played along, and they canceled the giant stamp on the giant envelope.
Very nice.
So it's a neat story.
I think TUSD and Sunnyside said they're in the Guinness Book of World Records for worst reading performance of any public school systems.
A lot of drama going on at that school, I'll tell you.
So we have been, this home of champions keeps giving, right? This Tucson High, the riot, the drag queen show. But so there's a story that hit Friday after the show.
Friday afternoon, yep.
But then, as the story develops... And it intersects, not intersectional. Everyone
comments on
intersects. We're going to save this for like 7:07. It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you know, we talk about one of the charms of the show is connecting the dots, right? This is
big time.
I couldn't ask for bad players to play it any more than
You couldn't have drawn this one up better.
I mean, I literally wanted
John Madden could not have drawn up this play better.
Wow.
Boom.
It's a boom. It's a big boom. We got a nice lady that is going to be here in the second hour, who is going to be talking about this really cool program going on at White Stallion Ranch called Base Camp. You know, I said, damn it, we're going to do more positive stories on a Monday for Tia Gloria. And this is what we're doing. So this is about as positive. So what's going to be amazing, we have this great story about this thing called Base Camp coming up. Yes, thank you for my new Google newsletter. Just show me the calendar, you jerk. So anyway... it's where they take these wild Mustangs and they have vets who are having issues working together, kind of better for both and helping some people cope with some tough things in their day. So that's going to go
really
on at
neat.
6:45. And then that's Deborah. Her name's Deborah from Base Camp. She'll be here. And then we have 7:07. Sorry, we got Danny Sharp running for mayor of Oral Valley will be here. And then after that, I will ruin it with the TUSD story. Like you would never believe. The TUSD Tucson High story. There's some Hall of Famers out there.
Yeah. This
is a freaking Hall of Famer.
This will be up there with the Mari Herrera's piece.
Questionable hires.
Thank you.
Questionable hires. My weekend and that's so. Let's start off with you. I saw it on Mrs. ESQ. If you want to look her up on Facebook, it's Mrs. ESQ. She made this salmon but also with this amazing pasta thing, because you guys are like citrus drug dealers over there. You guys have okay. all these your grapefruits and
first
all this thing.
Free.
Right? So tell me about.
So we had a little salmon with very simply cooked with some Italian spices, olive oil, and a few other goodies, and just baked in the oven.
Yep.
Very simple. And then, as I'll channel Matt Russell, we let the salmon speak for itself.
And, I love it.
Yeah. So, she made up a little lemon ricotta pasta sauce. We tossed some pasta in it.
Beautiful.
It's absolutely delicious.
I mean, lemon ricotta.
Lemon ricotta. Yeah. You had me at lemon ricotta. And so that was our, just a little bit of pasta water in there just to get the consistency right where we wanted it. And tossed that up with some, I think it was spaghetti. And just delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Bellissimo.
Just a perfect little Pinot Grigio that we just happened to have on hand. Just
can he say Pinot Grigio? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, judges. Thank you, judges, for letting me get away with that one. It was absolutely delicious. What a wonderful start for the weekend.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. We also had a good culinary weekend. I felt like we did something good Friday night, but Saturday we had a buddy in from out of town. We took her to Rancheros up in Catalina. And when you get in their hot case, they have the carnitas, right? But their carnitas are big chunks of this boneless pork, just chunks of it. Like, it's like the size of a large softball, basically. And when you order it on a plate, a taco or a burrito, then they fork shred it for you, right? So I had a burrito with that. It was just the bomb. They also do a great chicken mole. And one of my kids had the chicken mole burrito. It was fantabulous. And they grilled the outside of it. It was bellissimo again. We got this. I put it on Facebook. It's this thing we got it on Amazon. It's probably $30. It's this hardcover. My daughter and I want to do more, kind of like expand our regional Italian cooking thing. So we got this book. It's not, I didn't realize it was this big. It's 900 pages. It's a hardcover book called Cucina Italiana. It looks like the Book of Armaments, okay, this thing. It's unbelievable.
The British version of that is 3 pages.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Zingo. Put some more blood pudding on it. Now,
and butter.
So the crew made on Saturday, first one out of the two things. One was a homemade Parmigiano Reggiano risotto. I grilled up some chicken to go with it. It was one of those risottos, you know, you do the slow and low on top of you do a lot of stirring, but it's worth it. Amazing. And then they made an orange custard out of there. So kind of like an egg custard and a little, and you have your little cute dish, but it literally had this like fresh orange in it. And it was just wowzer. Wow. Wow.
Nice.
So that was pretty amazing. And then Bill number two he's been really a big fan of the thin crust pizza at Rosati's. And I would have told you in the past, Rosati's, my rating of any Rosati's experience has been, yeah, it's okay. Right. But he's been going crazy over this thin crust thing. So we did it yesterday with Mr. Bill number two, and he was right. Their thin crust pizza is dead on, thin, crispy. You know, you get the big 16-inch with one topping. It's probably $22 or something like that. They're not killing you. But that's a winner. They do the party cut. So this summer, if you don't feel like cooking, especially, see, there's no pizza in Oral Valley. So I got charred pizza, which makes the little 12-inchers, which is great. They do a great job with that. But other than that, a place that I can just go get a pie, right, that you have people over and you just don't want to cook, that kind of thing, I don't got that too good in Oral Valley. I mean, that Marco's pizza place is like, let me tell you a Marco's pizza story, okay? This is the one next to Fry's real quick. This is training my kids, right? So this is years ago. My kids are, this is like, I can't believe that place has been around that long. It's probably several or more years ago. My kids are staying with my parents, and for some reason, my parents decided to get Marco's pizza for dinner. And my kids go, both of them, no thank you, Grandma. Because what happened was when they stayed overnight, and when I picked them up, my mother says, what did you do to those kids? I go, what does that mean? Right? And it was, they refused to eat the Marco's pizza. And they said, my dad always had cold cuts in the house. And they go, Grandpa, can I have a turkey sandwich instead? So they were like, 10 and 12 at the time, and they wouldn't eat it. It was hilarious.
You trained them well.
Absolutely. So,
but on a Saturday night, we went over to some friends' house. They redid their, we had dinner with them about a year ago, and they said, oh, we're going to be redoing the yard. Okay. And so 14 months later, wow, did they ever. So we had the view of Push Ridge, the moon, you know, the pre-eclipse moon coming up, yeah. And the nearly full moon. And set out. They did it up with the AstroTurf and the pavers, and just amazing. So we went over celebrating his birthday and just had a great time under the stars in their rocking backyard out there adjacent to Oro Valley. It's near Oro Valley.
We call that SoO.
Oro Vista is where we were at. It was very nice. We had a great time. It was just wonderful.
Awesome. Well,
got some food from, I got to think of the place now. Anyway, Italian place, McGee and Oracle.
Probably Michelangelo's.
That was it.
So here we go.
Really good.
Here's another. I'll get in a little bit of trouble and then whatever. So I would have. I've been hearing a lot of great things about Michelangelo's over the last 6 months or so. It sounds like they did a total redo of the restaurant, redo of the menu. It might be like the kids taking over is what I'm hearing. Because I would have told you earlier that Michelangelo's for the previous 15 years was Olive Garden level. Right, but now I've been hearing lots of good things about. I can see if we can get them on for a Food Friday and try to discover what the heck's going on over there. So,
lasagna, arancini, and antipasto, little charcuterie, and.
Thank you for saying antipasto instead of Joe Higgins calling it antipasta.
It was yummy, 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 and a fun evening. So we had a great time.
All right, we've talked about ourselves. Now it's time to bring you. Now for the news. Now let's go to break. A lot of good music stuff today. We got this is the release date of Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. What else? Well, show me real quick, Matthew. I know we got to go quick, but let's see what you got on your list here. Billy Cobham, an amazing jazz drummer. Yes. Janet Jackson, one of the less weirder of the Jacksons.
Turns out.
I'm not saying she's great, but compared, she's no, you know, she's no LaToya, as we like to say, or the noseless one. So looks like that nose looks like the same. It looks like the bad guy from Harry Potter. All right, let's go to break. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Bobby Fripp's birthday from Crimson today. Is that Steve Kozacik, the 21st century schizoid man? I didn't thought about that. All right, here we go. Karen Ulick's back, thank God. Thank Jesus. And her and a dude named Ian McDowell.
Ian.
Is that the way you say it? Oh, thank God Ian McDowell is the past chair of the Tucson Chamber. That's some sort of street cred? Hold on. Ian McDowell, which I know is a guy who used to play... he's an author... What does this guy do? Tucson. Hold on. What does Ian McDowell do? Sending me to his LinkedIn page. Hold on. This is exciting. And this is there why 411 is the greatest thing on the planet Earth. Okay. And the 411, and the other thing, any of you business people that have been in on the yes on 411, the thing that's most disappointing is you guys are lying. That's the part that sucks. Okay. Oh, Ian is works for Sun Construction. The guy who built the Sun Construction do roads? Maybe? Hold on. Sun Construction roads. Let's see the. There it is, roadways, construction. Okay, so the guy... So Karen Ulick and the dude whose company makes money building roads want you to vote yes on 411. It's so cute. As the past chair of the Tucson Chamber... Why Prop 411? 85% of the streets are in poor and failing condition. Again, whose fault is that? Right? Let's see. Where does the money come from? And of course, it's the idea that we'll get those people from Oral Valley and Marana who come in and spend money with us. How many? They're not coming in to spend money with you as much as you think, kids. Here's another one. They're doing it in Q&A mode, right? Weren't sales taxes already supposed to fix our roads? Right? But here's the best part. They never mention HERF or VLT in this thing, which is what you're supposed, part of what you're supposed to use to fix roads, plus general fund. Right? That's the part that's in their charter. The charter that they use for Jim Crow law citywide voting. Right, is the same charter that told them to fix the roads, do cops, and do parks. Let's see. So, this is why, Ian, I'd love for you to come in. I will crush you on this debate all day long. Stay in your safe space with Karen, okay? And it is a new tax. Stop lying to people. You're freaking lying, okay? Weren't sales taxes supposed to figure it? Oh, under Prop 101, only 40% went towards the roads. Okay. Why Prop 101 made a dent, it just wasn't enough. Again, Ian, you're the sunt guy. You know everything about HERF and VLT, and you didn't even talk about it. So you are a bullcrap artist, my friend. Bullcrap artist. Okay. Ian. Now, then here's this one. What about, okay, no, they do mention it, sorry, but here we go. What about other funding sources like the state gas tax and bipartisan infrastructure law? So what do we not, when I first read the first line, right, it's like Huckleberry wrote this out of his backyard for him, okay? The state legislature has not raised the gas tax since the 1990s, despite the growth of our state. The Pima Association of Taxpayers and their op-ed piece that you come 3 days later said the between what they've had and didn't even mention all of HERF and VLT, they got $1.1 billion to go fix roads. Bill with a B, like butter or bastard, right? Now, law, unfortunately, are not the, so, then they said, what about the bipartisan infrastructure law? What, did Mark Kelly write this? So, Ian, the idea that you went after the... Remember, So, this is why Ian's full of crap. Remember the Allie Miller chart from 2019? The city got 76 mil from HERF and VLT. That's just 1 year. Ian, I'll give you 3 hours of show. Bring all the people from the Young Professionals and all you other. Give me a car dealer, too, that's in on this crap. Love to talk to all you guys. Then they go, I only got like less than 30 seconds here. Then here's, I'm gonna read you one of a young lady who crushes this argument when we come back, okay? They're like, well, how do we know all this, the money will be spent on the roads? There's a strict independent oversight and accountability requirements, right? So the oversight committee that the guy on K-Gun 9 did the fluff piece, like, thank God they're here. Guess how you get on the oversight committee? Oh, that's right. The fools that haven't fixed the road for 20 years, they appoint the people on the oversight committee. Get out of here. You're getting played again, Tucson. Getting played. All right, Mr. Fripp with Andy from the police. 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. I just wrote you, or read you parts of this pathetic op-ed by Karen Ulick, who's also part of the people who voted on budgets that didn't take care of cops, fire, police. I did cops twice. Well, it's important. Parks and roads, right? That's the best part, right? If there's someone who's been on all those budgets that has screwed Tucson, Karen Ulick, and then she somehow got this Ian guy, McDowell from Sunken. Think about that. The guy whose company builds roads telling you to give you more money for his company to make money. I mean, I'm just telling you, man. I'm going to play probably tomorrow. I got to have Ray clean up a couple of F-bombs in it. Bill Maher does a rant called American Carnage. And you'll think he's talking about Tucson. He talks about, one of the things he talks about it is elected officials being so concerned about the kind of the social justice of police brutality on black and Hispanic people that they're dealing with, arresting or whatever, sometimes killing the couple of the bad ones, right? That's not the reason for you to forget about the rest of everyone else in your town. I will play that. It's about a 6 to 7 minute rant that he does. And he also talks about being a town, right? Parts of the country now that there's no self-respect anymore, right? He goes, if you're a shoplifter, you don't even have to be good at it anymore. All you do is walk into the store, take your stuff and walk out. Cause there's no consequences. We got Danny Sharp running for mayor of Oral Valley coming up at the top of the hour. And then we have Deborah from Basecamp coming up for a positive Monday. And bill number one. I guess Karen and Ian weren't on their knees begging. That goes back to an old interview with Karen saying, I told her while she was listening to the birds in her backyard, I said, how does it feel to be a town that's constantly begging from its knees to get anything done around, get businesses to come here? And she didn't like that. Tough. All right. Now, what's amazing too is what you notice about, this is why Teddy Prendergast also sucks at the Star. If you notice anything that's a positive about 411, he puts the words 411 in the headline of the op-ed. Because he wants you to vote yes on it. But anyone else, he doesn't. Right? So, Teddy Prendergast is in on it too. Right? So, Karen's piece of crap with Ian from Sun Construction is called Ailing Roads Need Prop 411 to Pass. Right? And when you look at the Pima Association of Taxpayers, which was a hard no on 411, they don't mention the number 411. You just think it's a general government sucks thing, right? So Sonia Piraval, okay, she writes this op-ed in the paper. Now here's the headline for Sonia's piece. Deteriorating roads show local officials indifference. Teddy, it's not even funny anymore. When you do this, Teddy Prendergast, meaning Kurt Prendergast, when you modify headlines to show your bias towards yes on 411, all you're doing, you're falling into the Tim Steller trap of you keep saying you care about a town, but you keep shoving it in the toilet. Grow the hell up, Teddy. Let's get to Sonia. Potholes and deteriorating asphalt up to 4 inches deep and 3 feet wide. Tucson citizens, are you okay with the damage this type of neglect causes to your cars? I put a meme up. It was Kermit the Frog driving a car and he had a big smile, right? And the meme was that moment your car hits a Tucson pothole and your check engine light finally goes off. All right. Now, are you okay with the damage this type of neglect causes to your cars? To your property value, ? Does it invite crime, incivility, and disorder? Does the broken window theory apply to roads? Broken roads. More and more, I'm finding that driving through my childhood neighborhood streets of south side of Tucson demands skillful maneuvering as I skirt around these car-wrecking minefields. How can it be less than a mile southwest of the specific area stands the office of Raul Grijalva? Does he know what his own backyard looks like, or does he even care? Does Mayor Regina Romero? These neighborhood streets sandwiched between Liberty Avenue and 12th Avenue are a complete disrepair and have been for years. Meanwhile, I love Sonia. I got to get Sonia on the show. We'll do Ian for 2 hours and Sonia for one. Do you know Ian was the former chair of the Tucson Chamber?
You might have mentioned that.
Does anyone even know what an Ian McDowell is? Oh, thank Jesus. We got Edmund Marquez. We'll be just fine. Oh, I'm sorry. Hit the wrong button. I was going to hit the champion button. Sorry. I don't have that. This is gold. Sonia Pirival, love you. Meanwhile, tax dollars. Now, remember, she's talking about the roads between Liberty Avenue, right, and 12th Avenue, right? Right? This is, you know, kind of that south, on the south side, right, is falling apart, okay? Meanwhile, tax dollars have been spent rebranding Liberty Avenue as Liberty Bike Boulevard. This is laughable. This is Sonia words. This is laughable, as any person who cherishes their life would certainly circumvent this pothole-filled street. Let's talk. This is back to Sonia. Let's talk about the audacity of the city council asking the constituents to extend a half-cent sales tax that was voted in 17. The city would have us believe they will repave all of the city streets in town. Neighborhood streets. Does anyone actually think that could reasonably happen? And which streets will they start with? The ones on the south side or the ones in the wealthier areas? Have you driven on golf links recently? How about Pantano? According to the City of Tucson website, approximately 80% of the money will be dedicated to neighborhood street improvement. This plan will include roadway treatment as fog seal mill overlay and reconstruction. Maybe I can have Ian teach me the words. Where did our tax dollars go from 5 years ago? ? How can the city ask us to give them an extra 590 mil and expect different results? Oh my God. Oh God. Oh, nails it, right? This is why it's a huge no on for her.
Yeah.
Sonia Pirival from the South Side is telling you, I don't know if she's a pansexual, Rahina, so you'll have to ask her. I'm sure she's just a regular woman, which I know that doesn't get you guys excited over there. Okay. How can the city ask us to give them another 590 million and expect different results? I'll believe it when I see it, and you should be skeptical too. More importantly, I'm afraid these collapsed and decayed roads contribute to a mentality of indifference. Ah! I haven't done a triple ding in a long time. We should expect more mediocre performance from our elected officials instead of blindly re-electing them year after year after year. Why do we persist in this insanity? Someone needs to take this and read it at the next city council meeting. Have they shown themselves trustworthy when handling our tax dollars? After all, they're elected to represent the basic needs of the citizens. So what can we do about it? Call their offices, email your concerns, speak up. She goes, perhaps vote a new candidate into office. At the very least, post pictures of your crumbling streets on social media. Let them know they work for you. Ah! Perfect. All right, now I'm going to have a positive segment. Get you all fired up. Danny Sharp will be here. That'll be positive. And then wait till I get to 737. Wait till I get to the Tucson High. It all comes together in a crashing asteroids. Like, you know, in the game Asteroids, they'd hit and they'd go another. This is asteroid time at 737 on the home of champions, Tucson High. Oh, God, it's this guy's birthday. Uh-oh. All right, Matt, I'll tell you the prog rock connection to Mr. at the break. 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Danny Sharp running for mayor of Oral Valley coming up at the top of the hour. Good morning and welcome to Deborah Plum. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Deborah Plum, we were just talking. She's a back east human being like myself.
I am third generation New Yorker.
Look at you. Moved to Tucson in the last year or so, right?
I did, yes. I've been coming out here with my family since I was young and then finally made the move just about a year ago. Yeah.
During the craziness of the world.
Yes, the pandemic hit and it was time for some outdoors and sunshine.
So you have this thing called Base Camp for Veterans.
That is true.
When did Base Camp for Veterans start?
So my partner and I, who actually still lives back east, started Base Camp for Veterans in 2018 as an idea. So we did a lot of research. We were trying to figure out how to give back to the veteran community. And then in 2019, we ran our pilot program before ever filing for 501c3 nonprofit status, which
right.
we have. So
why Base Camp? Why, you know, there's, and why is it important to you personally?
Sure. So I grew up with a family that was passionate about service in some way, if it was
right.
to your community, anything. I didn't serve, my dad didn't serve, but my grandfathers both on both sides served, and they really raised me with a sense of just national pride and the belief that people should give back to the communities that they're from, wherever that is. So that combined with dual citizenship with Israel, where all of my friends have served, all my family there, I really saw this sort of divide that exists in this country between those who serve, those who don't, between people who live in areas where you actually encounter veterans and those who don't. And I thought, wow, this is an area that I can maybe understand and help give back to. And Theo, my business partner, who is a therapist, he is from a long line of veterans. And so we bonded over this feeling that neither of us had actually served the way some of the family members and friends that we care so deeply about had, but we wanted to do something to give back.
So you do this at the fabulous White Stallion Ranch.
We do. We have a partnership with White Stallion Ranch. They host all of our veterans for our programs for free. So we do week-long programs where four veterans and their family members can stay. And they are treated as just like any other guest. They can use the facilities, they can ride, but we also tailor a program for them for that week. And then we also partner with another ranch called Dream Horse Ranch, which is about 15 minutes away. And that's where the Mustang component of our program operates out of, because we actually use wild horses for the equine therapy that we do.
So you know, forgive her, she's a lawyer from Pennsylvania. Theo's a
New York. Don't be rude.
Did you live in New York or Pennsylvania?
Always New York.
Oh, I apologize.
Theo's in Pennsylvania. Come
gotcha. Okay. Some back Easters. Okay. How did you find White Stallion? How did that get on your radar?
So when I was 2 years old, my parents brought me out there.
Well played.
My dad was about to make partner at a big law firm. My mom wanted to surprise the Bronx boy with, you know, the dream of being a cowboy. Brought the whole family out for a vacation. This was in, keeping my age away, 1987. And we were hooked. I mean, my dad was hooked. My mom loved it. And we started coming back every single year every year, maybe twice a year sometimes. And so that's where I got my riding start. And because of them, I went to riding camps. I started riding back home. And horses just became a real integral part of my life.
Did you force your parents to buy you your own horse?
I did not. You know, good. As a New Yorker, I decided, don't be that stereotype.
All right. So what goes down at Base Camp? What happens at Base Camp?
Okay. So we always talk about it as needing three fundamental elements to exist, because we don't have a location. We don't have an office. We don't have our own ranch. We operate through partnerships that are very important. So we need veterans and their family members who need assistance of some kind. The veteran does not need a diagnosis. This is not clinical. It's just acknowledging that there's something they're struggling with or that their family is struggling with. Then we need Mustangs, wild horses that are in need of homes. So we found a Mustang trainer who is exceptional, Jeff Cook, award-winning, competes in all the Mustang Heritage Foundation competitions, Extreme Mustang Makeover, and he is passionate about helping these horses find a use in society, as we have too many of them.
Extreme Mustang Makeover,
yes.
Is that a show? Is that
it's
what
a
is
competition?
A,
so
is
you
it a
can
TV
watch
show?
It. No, it's you can
All
watch
right.
the show.
You never know in this world.
Yeah, no, it's not. TV. You could watch it.
That could
TV.
Be your next thing. You guys should be doing that, producing your own TV show.
I don't know if I'm a TV personality. We'll see after this interview what you think. But so we work with him. He already trains Mustang, so he then lets us use those horses for our therapy component of the program, which, as you can imagine, since they're wild, you don't ride them. This is all groundwork. And then we find it essential to also have the ranch-style housing and the activities that White Stallion provides, which was very much something we learned through our pilot. So we have those three elements that come together. We bring the veterans and their family together for a week.
What's the selection process on vets?
Selection process. So we have an application. It's very short on our website, and it is intended to be short. We ask a few questions. We ask them to acknowledge what it is about horses specifically that inspired them to apply.
Right.
And then we do most of it through phone call interviews or Zoom. we pick 3 out of 4 locals, and then we'll bring 1 veteran from out of state, funding permitted, because everything is no cost to the veteran. They pay nothing.
Right.
And so really what we're looking for is a veteran who has had some services after finishing their service. So we're not going to be the first stop, because we feel very, very much that they should go, they should talk to somebody and figure out what it is that they're working on and hash that out a bit more before they come to us, because we really do throw them in the ring. You know, I mean, we're very safe. We have the trainer, we have a therapist there with them, but we're not talk therapy. We're not there to really sort of hash out anything in a clinical format. It's really about the experience and the immersion.
So we just had this discussion with one of our partners, which is Chelsea over at Track, right? Therapeutic Riding. And we talk about how horses are the most amazing reflection of energy, right?
They are.
Right? That's why this is why I use horses.
No, they're unbelievable. Right? As Jeff always says, they don't lie. You know, their fight or flight instincts are going to tell you what you're telling them, sometimes before you even know you're telling them. It's incredible to watch. It's incredible to experience. I think I learned the significance of groundwork at a horse camp about when I was 12, and they told us we weren't allowed to get on the horse until we established a relationship from the ground. And so some of that was really inspirational to me when we built the program curriculum, so that the veterans spend 4 hours a day working with these wild horses from the ground. And they're learning about their energy and what kind of movements they make and what that tells the horse or horses. They could work with multiple at a time. And then they come back to White Sion Ranch and spend the time with their family riding fully trained horses and sort of seeing the impact of what years of good communication or just effective communication and training a horse can do. And I think there's really strong parallels they can draw about themselves and their experience and learning about what signals they send to people without maybe knowing it.
There's always different cases of, you know, big growth, small growth stories. What's a success story that really sticks in your mind?
So I'd say that there's two. One of our veterans came to us really not interested in being social. You know, there was too much trauma, there was a lot of pain, there was anxiety, and I think that's something a lot of veterans experience, especially the ones that we work with, who mostly are combat deployed, and the reluctance to even join group settings was a big thing. And he admitted to us that he was going to just not show up to the program. You know, we had to save the spot for a week. He was going to be with us, and he showed up late, and then later told us that he was just too anxious to spend that week. And now he's one of our biggest advocates. He comes to every event. He talks in public on our behalf.
That's
he's
awesome.
A real ringleader for the group. So I think that is a real success story to us in terms of just the community we're building and the safe space that we're creating. And hopefully that extends to other.
How can the Wakey listeners help you out today? Is there,
well, we're always just trying to raise awareness. We are new to Tucson in that I just moved here. So we're really kicking up our activity and consistency. So now we're actually for the first time offering 2 programs in a year. So we had one in January and we have one coming up May 22nd. And we're now providing ongoing services after those week-long programs. So awareness is key. And then we're actually having a fundraiser and outreach event on May 21st at White Stallion Ranch. That's this Saturday.
Okay.
Where people will be able to spend a full day seeing what the veterans do during our program. And each activity will be led by a veteran who has graduated the program.
Wow.
And then it culminates in a dinner. So
what time is that at?
So you can come as early as 8 a.m. if you feel like riding and getting into archery and e-biking and some horsemanship clinics. Or you can come later in the afternoon and watch the veterans compete and team penning and have dinner with us.
How do they find out about such wonderful things?
It is on our website, which is www.bcampinc.com. And you can also find us on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, pleasure meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we'll see you again before this is all over.
You should come on May 21st. You can be the other New Yorker in the room.
I'd love to come, actually. I might be open on Saturday.
We'd love to have you.
All right.
Okay.
You might see me on Saturday.
Well, that sounds great.
All right. Nice meeting you.
You too.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
That's Deborah Plum. It is base camp over at the Great White Stallion Ranch. Thanks to Russ and the crew for all their support of this amazing program. So we'll keep the positive waves coming. We got Danny Sharp running for mayor. And unlike the guy who's currently mayor, he doesn't need a binder to read off his notes to do an interview. So, who said that? Outside voice. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice.